My CCFM.
My CCFM.
Changing lives for good.
It is 11:13 on In Season with Psyche Raicha on 107.5. I played you. Now I'm joined by Melvin Dixer on the line, who is a development coach who owns a private practice in psychology, and education. And today, as I mentioned earlier on, we are touching on a topic titled When Your Marriage Is in Trouble, Hope for the Hurting. Melvin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Miss Psyche Duka. Are you well?
I am good. I'm good. How are you?
It's always a delight speaking with you. I look forward to our chat every fortnight.
Yeah, likewise. Now, I've been alluding to this particular conversation, you know, because I've had a lot of listeners writing in with regards to this particular aspect of their lives and how they are asking for prayers and needing for prayers. And I love that, you know, they will, I believe and trust that they will have hope at the end of this particular chat. But before we can talk about it, what inspired today's topic, Melvin?
Yeah, you alluded to it. You've had many people speak to you and ask you about this particular topic. It is something that I've observed over a long period of time, and in my practice, I've seen a growing number of couples checking in for guidance, for help. Many couples are in a spot of bother as far as their marriage is concerned, and It concerns me because it's not only people who are not Christians who are struggling with this, but we see many Christian couples who are dealing with very, very difficult issues in their marriages. And I think we need to provide some sense of hope from Scripture and a sense of how do we address this very, very difficult matter that not only affects the couple, but also affects the children in the family.
Sure, and we thank God for this moment. Now, Melville, could you please give us a sense of some of the types of factors that contribute to marital discord?
So we would think as Christians, as a Christian couple, there would be certain boundaries and there would be certain principles and precepts that we live by. But in my observations and what we see around us in society is that many Christian marriages struggle with very similar things to what people who are not Christians are struggling with. We have marriages with infidelity in Christian families. Yeah. We have couples who speak about inappropriate relationships that their partner pursue in marriage. We speak about anger and violence that is present in Christian marriages. The effects of substance abuse and how that impacts Christian marriages is a real issue. The consumption of alcohol and even medication or some other mind-altering drugs that people are using. And obviously there are some psychological or some emotional difficulty attached to that, why people use substances or abuse substances. And then we have couples who tell me that their partner still has an ongoing relationship with their ex. It could be an ex-girlfriend, it could be a person they've been married to before, and it's creating lots and lots of tension in the current marriage. I also hear people tell me that in times of difficulty, in times of distress, in times of health challenges, their partner is unsupportive, indifferent, and it creates a sense of, I don't care really about your well-being. I'm concerned about my well-being as the primary focus of my life. That can create a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, which profoundly impacts the marriage relationship. And then we also have folks tell me that their partner is largely influenced by the opinions of their families, of their friends, even their coworkers that shape their opinion of their partner. Now, remember, when you speak to a family member or a friend about your partner, you are giving a snapshot of that partner. You are not giving the full picture. And so people's opinion about your partner is being shaped by the snapshot that you are giving them, which, according to Proverbs 18, if you read that whole chapter, is not God's design. We need to weigh up the various elements at play in a relationship in order to form an opinion about someone. Then sadly, we also have partners who play psychological games with their partner. You know, their partner's always guessing where they are, what are they doing, who are they with. There's a veil of mystery around the activities they are involved in. You know, there's a sense of anger if asked, where were you or who were you with? That creates a tremendous sense of suspicion, but it also creates a tremendous sense of insecurity for the partner. And so these are some of the, it's not a comprehensive list, but these are some of the major difficulties that I've seen many couples experience. There's poor communication or even communication that is non-existent. You know, you have a couple living in the same house, coexisting in the same house, but there's very, very limited or very poor communication. And that creates a lot of anxiety, creates a lot of uncertainty. You don't know where you stand in the relationship, and it causes a lot of hurt. And this goes both ways, men and women, husbands and wives. I see this happening from both ends. So it's not a specifically men only or women only. I see this across the board where people display this type of behavior. And so it's very difficult to engage a partner that is indifferent. There is an unwillingness, a reluctance to have a conversation about key issues or key difficulties in the marriage, and that compounds the difficulties in the relationship. And so when people are in that space, it, as I mentioned earlier, it leads to anxiety, but it very often also leads to depression because you just don't know where you stand with your partner. And I think particularly those people need to pursue a meaningful counseling intervention in order to address those major concerns.
Now, speaking about depression, Melvin, what is the impact of a troubled marriage, you know, on the family as a whole and also the children?
Yeah, I always say this to couples. We, as adults, need to understand that if we are in a marriage, if you're in a family, the children do not grow up in a vacuum, right? Sure. They grow up in the presence of a mom and a dad, and the personalities and the behavior of mom and dad has a major impact on our children grow up and how they experience the world. So if you have discord in the marriage is really in trouble. Typically what happens is there's no longer a shared or common goal as a couple. They're not growing together anymore as a couple. They're not identifying certain goals for the family and certain things that they're striving towards. So that would be a key feature that is missing. There's no sense of we building together as a family. Mama's doing her thing, dad is doing his thing, and the children are caught somewhere in the middle. That is very unhealthy. It's very, very unhealthy. Children pick up these dynamics, and it affects them not only emotionally, but it also affects them psychologically and scholastically. I had a number of years ago, I was teaching a grade 5 class, and a girl came to school one morning, and she was beside herself. She was crying, and I asked what was going on. I thought somebody had attacked her, and she said, my mom and dad had a major fight last night, and they said that they're going to get a divorce, and it was just really ugly. And this child was in absolute distress because of what happened between mom and dad. And I don't think parents fully understand the impact of their disagreements on children in the present, but also the long-term effect of that type of environment. Mm-hmm. So it not only affects the unity and the togetherness of the family, but it affects how children experience family life. They take all of those emotions with them into the school and classroom setting, and it can certainly impact them scholastically and emotionally. And even in adulthood, children or adults would reflect on the instability that they experience in the home, how that influenced their current relationships. So Parents need to be very, very sensitive to that impact. If there's marital discord, there's also a sense of my needs are important more than anything else. So you see to your thing and I'll see to my thing. Okay, that sense of self-importance. Just recently, I had a young man come see me. He was in his mid-30s and he was saying to me, I've got a health difficulty, got a health issue. There's no medical evidence to prove it. He's been through medical tests and assessments, but they can't prove or there's no evidence to suggest that he's got a medical condition. But nonetheless, he said his health was the most primary concern in his life. And I asked him, so what about your wife and your little baby? The baby's 7 months old. And he said, well, my main focus is just for me to get better. That's my main focus. And so a tremendous sense of me, I'm important, and anything else is secondary. Anything else is on the peripheral edges of my life, which is counter to what we learn from Scripture, particularly as far as the husband is concerned and his role in providing and caring and taking care of his wife and children. So there's a distinct absence of empathy and concern for your loved ones, okay?
Yeah.
Because you are so consumed by what you need, what is important to you. Couple came to see me, and the husband said to me, in the evening when I get home, I sit on my phone. To his wife's dismay, but he said, I sit on my phone. She's busy with a baby, but I sit on the phone, and I'm on social media. And I don't see anything wrong with it because it's me time. Mm. It's time for me to focus on what makes me feel good. And again, it's that mindset of my self-interest is more important than anything else around me. So when that type of culture plays itself out in the family, it becomes very, very difficult for the partner who is the recipient of this type of behavior, especially when there's the periodic reference to the word, let's get a divorce, okay? Sure. When there's a crisis, when there's a difficulty, when things become heated, the word divorce is used either as an ultimatum or is used as a emotional ball to manipulate your partner. That's very unhelpful. And sadly, as I said at the outset, we see this playing out in Christian families. And the world might have this perception that a Christian family is a place where everything is fine. There's classical music playing in the background. The children are well behaved. Mom and dad is in good space all the time. And that's not necessarily so. Sometimes Christian homes can be very messy with emotional distress, with indifference, with lack of empathy towards your partner. And that is something that we really, really need to be cognizant of.
Yeah.
And parents sometimes tell me, I would ask them, do you understand the impact that this discord have on children? They would say to me, well, our kids are resilient. They are doing well. They are fine. And that is such a misplaced, ignorant statement regarding the impact of the marital discord on children.
Yeah.
The truth is children have long-range memories, okay? They remember these things. And in adulthood, it plays itself out. I see adult people in their 40s and 50s who are still coming to terms with the traumas they've experienced because of mom and dad being in marital difficulty. So I'm really appealing to couples to relook and reevaluate their relationships. Look at what are the behaviors that I'm engaging in that is a contributing factor to where we are as a couple. And am I making a concerted effort not only to glorify God through my life, but am I making a concerted effort to love my partner the way Christ loved the church?
Sure. Now, before I let you go, you know, of course, as I mentioned earlier on, that the title of this particular topic is titled When Your Marriage is in Trouble, Hope for the Hurting. Getting to the hope part, can you offer any encouragement, you know, or hope for couples who are in troubled marriages?
Sure. So we need to start right at the outset. We need to understand that God established marriage. Marriage was not designed by the world or ordained by the world. God established marriage between a man and a woman, okay? And the relationship between a husband and a wife is a covenant between a husband and a wife. And that covenant is set in place for mutual expression of love between a man and a woman, but it's also set in place for us to glorify God. Remember, in all areas of our lives, Christ and God desires that we glorify Him. Mm. And if that understanding has lost its way in a marriage, I would encourage couples to revisit that understanding that our marriage is a covenant that we made before God, that we made a vow to honor one another, to love one another, even in times of difficulty. Mm. I understand that sometimes there's one partner who may be willing to work on the relationship and the other partner is indifferent. There's a sense of reluctance. I'm done with this marriage. But I would challenge those who are indifferent to relook the vow and the covenant that they made with their partner before God. Look at the real meaning of marriage. And if your desires are driven by selfishness, if you have become so used to blame shifting, where everything else is blamed on your partner, I think it's time for you to relook that approach that you have towards marriage. Part of hope and creating hope in a marriage, Sakya, and I've seen this over a number of years, is having a very candid self-assessment, looking at how can I change things in this marriage.
Yeah.
What are the things that I need to take responsibility for, and what are the things that I'm doing that is impacting the marriage in a negative sense, that is also impacting the children in a negative sense. So really being very honest and candid and truthful about what you're contributing to the difficulties. If you have an inappropriate relationship, end that relationship right now. Okay. If you're engaging in a behavior that is hurting and harming your partner, both emotionally and physically, cease to continue with that behavior immediately. I also believe that finding hope in your marriage is rooted in repentance.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There must be a sense of, I really regret, I'm really remorseful of the things that I did and said over a period of time. I repent before God, but I also repent in front of you as my partner, as the one that I have this covenant with.
Mm.
And I desire to do things differently going forward. There is a sense that I get, Sakya, when I work with couples. People think if they continue doing the same things, that somewhere, somehow, things will get better in the future. Okay, now that is a foolish mindset.
Yeah.
If we keep doing things the same way going forward, we will get exactly the same results mm-hmm. as we did in the past. And that is where repentance comes in. I'm saying to myself, I'm saying to God, I'm saying to my partner that I am turning away from things that are destructive to our marriage. And I'm intentionally deciding to take our marriage in a different direction, in a direction that seeks to honor Christ and to glorify Christ. I would also encourage couples to seek out a biblical counselor, a counselor with a biblical worldview, to help them work through their difficulties from an objective perspective, to speak truth about what's really happening, not to sugarcoat the difficulties, but to speak truthfully about the issues that are there. And going through such a process is challenging. It is difficult, but the rewards are profound. And I've seen how couples struggle to peel away the layers of difficulty and how they found renewed joy in one another. How they just started developing a new sense of love and appreciation for each other. But it requires some work. And so, really being intentional to say that my marriage is important. I'm seeking to look to God, look to Christ, look to the Word of God, what the Word really says about marriage, particularly husbands. They need to love their wives. They need to not exasperate the children or provoke the children to anger. You can even, as a husband, provoke your children to anger by the way you handle their mother, okay? By the way you handle your wife. Mm. And so I really appeal to those who are listening, who may be in this situation. First and foremost, come before God and lay all of those difficulties before God, even in your alone time, and then approach your partner and really be genuine and sincere in finding restoration for your marriage and for your relationship. I know our segment today is just a kind of a high-level overview of these difficulties, but there is great value in sitting with a counselor, even a pastor, even an elder and his wife, who are wise and we've walked a long road with the Lord, to sit with them and just work through these difficulties over a period of time. Remember, if people engage in certain behaviors, it almost becomes part of them, and so it's difficult to undo these behaviors. Mm-hmm. But over a period of time, I've seen how that is possible. Some guy said, my wife is so difficult. You know, I just can't love my wife. And yet the Bible says, first and foremost, love your wife, right? Husbands, love your wives. If you can't love her as your wife, love her as your neighbor. The Bible says, love your enemy as yourself. And if you can't love her as your neighbor, love her as your enemy, because the Bible says, love your enemy. So whichever way you look at it, you will love your wife. I'm saying that a little tongue-in-cheek, but the point is, there will be seasons in marriages when things are difficult, but God provides grace even through those times when things are really, really difficult. I've mentioned this before. My folks have been married for 55 years, and there have been challenges, but by God's grace, they were able to work through these difficulties because they made a covenant to love one another, support one another, and glorify God through their marriage. Sin cannot be fought with sin. You cannot fight sin with sin. Mm. If your partner sins against you, you cannot sin in return to get back at your partner. Okay, sin can only be neutralized through and by the righteousness of Christ in your relationship. I think that is the key issue, that we need to sincerely not only ask for forgiveness of our partner, but we also need to be willing to give forgiveness to the offending partner. And I think that's really where hope lies in marriages at the moment.
Sure. Powerful. Malvin, a few messages came through. I'm not going to name the listeners. This one says, hi, dear. I'm busy going through a divorce after 21 years. Both born-again Christians. However, he no longer goes to church. Alcohol usage, sexual abuse, no longer strict boundaries with my son, verbal abuse. I'm concerned about my kids. Both of them refuse to speak to a therapist. They said they're not comfortable to speak to strangers. It is sad that all of this happened in Christian homes. Do you have anything to say to that particular listener this morning?
Yeah, very challenging situation. So she's saying they are divorced already, or they're going through a divorce?
They're going through a divorce after 21 years.
Yeah. Well, I do think that if she's saying he's no longer Christian, he's no longer a believer in Christ. The Bible is clear. If your partner who is not a believer decides to leave, there is biblical grounds for divorce. Remember, God says he hates divorce. That's the first thing. God hates divorce. Mm-hmm. But there's a provision in Corinthians where God says if your unbelieving partner decides to leave, there is a biblical license, if you will, for the divorce to be formalized. It is very sad that after so many years that there is a divorce. One would always want to see that there's some level of reconciliation. if not restoring the marriage, but reconciliation in the sense that the children will still have some type of meaningful relationship with their father. I understand that sometimes we have to keep our children away from a partner that is just really living a destructive lifestyle that is not helpful to our children. Mm-hmm. But there's still, I believe, a place for the biological mother or father to still have some sense of contact with the children, because the children do need that. They do need a sense of, I know my father and I know my mom, and even though the situation is not ideal or perfect, there's still some semblance of, you know, relationship that I have with him. So, and I would encourage her to attend therapy with the children, not to have them see the therapist on their own, but to sit in with them and work through some of the difficulties. As I mentioned early on, we don't want the children to experience these traumas at a young age and then have the long-range effects in adulthood. So it's always helpful to, at an age-appropriate level, work through therapy or counseling so that children can, in a sense, work through the difficulty of the divorce in a meaningful way.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for that. Melvin, where can our folks get a hold of you? You know, this, as I mentioned, Nguti Eid, a lot of listeners, you know, are going through a marital discord, and sure, it has triggered many. And I believe they would love to extend this topic, this conversation with you on a personal one-on-one session. How can they do that?
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Also, you know, many people prefer to contact me rather that way because they don't really want to speak about it or publish it on air, as it were. But the best contact number would be 083-763-2835. 083-763-2835. That's my WhatsApp number, and they can just drop me a WhatsApp and I'll respond.
Yeah, fantastic. Melvin, thank you so much for your time. I pray that we will be able to get this as a podcast, as many are asking the recording of this particular chat. But thank you so much for your time once again and for your obedience, you know, being able to have this topic for today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Saki, and thank you for your service. God bless you.
Thank you. Right, that was Melvin Dixer chatting to us about, you know, marital discord. However, also sharing, Nguti, there is hope for the hurting. And if you'd like to extend, have a counseling session with him, you can contact him on WhatsApp on 083-763-2835. That's 083-763-2835. And I pray that we'll be able to have this particular chat as a podcast.